touch the Holy Spirit with dishonesty. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, folks, dishonesty and holiness cannot mix. It will never mix.
That's right. And what he said, what Peter said, you have not lied to men. You have lied to God.
And the young men arose, covered him up, carried him out, and they buried him. Now, there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife, I want to say lying wife, came in not knowing what had happened, and Peter responded to her, tell me what you sold the land for. Did you sell it for such and such a price? And she said, yes, that was the price. Peter said to her, why is it you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Boy, I tell you, this is serious.
That is a total lie.
Put the Lord to the test.
Oh, wow.
Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. She fell immediately at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead. They carried her out and buried her also, right next to her husband.
Yes, so she and her husband had agreed on something behind the scenes. And I'll tell you, God knows what you're doing. If you are in agreement with someone behind the scenes and you don't think God is seeing you, and you're agreeing to try to defraud or try to keep something from friends or family or, you know, in an estate situation, remember God sees all your actions. He's the most important.
You know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now as we're delivering this message is, if you purport publicly to be a tither and a great giver, but privately you're not, I think you're like Ananias and Sapphira. You're walking on thin ice.
That's right.
You know, don't act one thing and purport yourself out, oh yeah, I'm a tither, bless God, I'm a tither. You know, and you're giving a dollar a week, hey, folks, that won't fly with the Lord. Yeah, I mean,
right.
And the reason he doesn't want you to lie is it blocks his ability to bless you. He wants more than anything else to bless his children. And so don't get caught up in that. I tell you, we just can't do that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, we see people here, this power from Holy Spirit, and that's our that's power given to us today. That's what's so exciting about this lesson. People were getting healed, Darren, without even the apostles touching them. They were just being healed by the very fact that they were believing, and Holy Spirit was moving so wonderfully.
Well, you know, at one point Jesus spoke to a soldier, and he said, your servant has been healed. And that was after the soldier said, my, you have mighty power and authority. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word. You know, Jesus has given us that same thing. And often think about that when we do the radio shows every day, that what we have is really the power to speak healing out over the radio waves. And I've seen over the years many, many people, Barbara, healed of strange things. I've never met the people, never been to their house. They've never been to my house. But that power goes forth. Again, on this vehicle of words, when we operate in that power of attorney and say, Jesus, if you were sitting here doing this radio show or if you're talking on the phone, would that guy on the other end of the line get healed?
That's right.
And the answer has to be yes.
Yes. Well, here in Acts 5:14, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by that his very shadow might fall on any one of them. See, just his shadow would bring healing. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all dead. Aaron, they were all being healed. Praise God. That's great. Oh, and again, we see in Acts 8:12, we're seeing some of our rights in power of attorney here, that Gentiles were receiving Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful miracle in itself, Darren, that we receive Holy Spirit who is in us. And in in Acts 8:12-17, we see that Philip was preaching the good news to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and Gentiles were being saved. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were saved, and they had been baptized in water. But they had not received Holy Spirit. The salvation and the receiving of Holy Spirit are two different instances here.
Now, but the case here, they laid hands on them.
Yes.
Now, you have, as a Spirit-filled believer, if you have the anointing of Holy Spirit on your life, we would say the baptism of the Spirit. He's baptized the inner man of the heart. You probably, and you should have, And if you haven't been, you ought to be baptized in water, immersed in water.
That's right.
But then he wants to immerse the real you on the inside with power. Now, once we have that, in fact, after our meetings many times, or at some point in the meeting, somebody says, you know, I'd like to have that prayer language. I want to be able to pray mysteries. I want to be able to edify myself and build up my most holy faith, as it says in Jude verse 20. Mm-hmm. Well, we can lay hands on them and transfer that anointing, which is really what happens here. That, again, is the power of attorney to transfer the very baptism of the Holy Spirit to that person that's asking for it.
That's right. And we have been given that power through Jesus Christ to lay hands on our brothers and sisters, and they will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the next miracle here, Darren, is in Acts 9, 33 and 34. Praise the Lord. And it's about the healing of the paralyzed man.
Yeah, the healing of the paralytic, you know. Here, Aeneas said, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, make up your bed, and get out of here. You know, now that you're well, you need to get on with the program. And, you know, sometimes we need to say that to people. All right, now I prayed for you, and God has done what he said he would do because he watches over his word to perform it. Uh-huh. He speaks mighty miracles, but he also has the power to back it up.
Yes.
Now you're healed. Now you need to do something you haven't done before. So when we pray for people in a meeting, many times they say, I need my back prayed for or whatever. And I'll say, okay, now that God's healed you, now it's taken a very assumptive, very assertive thing there, because I know he's given me the power of attorney to pray for people like that. All right, can you touch your toes? Or can you do a deep knee bend? Can you walk over and touch the wall? You know, and they're saying they struggled to get up there, but now that God's healed them, now it's a new deal.
That's
right. And
they
need to get up and get going.
And their language needs to change also, Darren. And that's one thing that we really base a lot of the healing on is our confession. After that prayer of faith is said, then we need to confess we do not have that disease or that illness that has attacked our bodies beforehand. That's the hardest thing to do, is to change our confession from my cancer or my diabetes or my arthritis or
my. Well, it never was yours anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true. Absolutely wasn't.
No, if we can get you to agree, see, come along parallel with Jesus. Instead of sitting across the table from Jesus, you get over to sit right next to him. And say, now, okay, how I want to look at this exactly like you do, Jesus. And he's going to tell you, when you prayed in my name, I healed you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because when your faith touched my faith and my ability, the power was flowing for you to be healed that minute, not 5 months from now, that minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to expect the whole thing. I like to see the manifestation right then, at least ask for it. And yet, knowing that I stand on the word, that person is healed when we pray because of the power of attorney.
Oh, praise God. That's so wonderful.
Now, let me just say one more thing here. Barb, let me interrupt you here. You see, Jesus is liable for my prayers in his name.
He is. He's the responsible party.
He's the responsible party. Yes. He's the one that made this up. I didn't make it up. Go out there and pray and operate in my name. Operate on my behalf. In other words, do this power of attorney thing. I will back up the words and actions of my agent. In this case, he's the principal. I'm the agent. I'm acting on his behalf since he's not here. I have his name.
That's right.
And that's the way the power of attorney works.
That's right. And Jesus is not physically here with the apostles any longer. He is gone. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And the next important story we're going to find out about, Darren, is the raising of a dead person. These apostles actually had that wonderful faith, high faith, to raise a dead woman. And we're going to turn to, in the same chapter of Acts 9, we're going to turn to the 37th and the 41st verses. And this lady, who was a very kind and loving woman in the community, died. And when they had washed her body and laid it in an upper room, then the disciple Peter was there, and he sent two men, and he arose and went with them. And when they had come, he brought them into an upper room, and all the widows were weeping, and there was great emotion, and they were showing them all the things that Dorcas, or Tabitha, as some say, had sewn and had made for everybody. You know what he did? He pushed them all out of the room. He said, okay, now all of you leave. We're going to get down to business here.
You know, I believe he got rid of the unbelief, or the questioners, or the people that have all the information. And he was just ready to go to business. Mm-hmm. He just did what he could do, raise her up.
Yes, that's right. And so we're going to find out here as you turn over your tape, we're going to find out on the next side what happens to this woman that Peter is praying for.